Welcome to issue 26 of Behind the Panels, the comic book podcast that has a utility belt full of emergency kittens. I'm one of your co-hosts, Richard Gray.
And I'm your other co-host, David McVeigh. Where do you pull these from?
That one actually comes courtesy of my girlfriend, Susan.
Okay. Yes, she loves her kittens. She is kitten obsessed, isn't she? How are you, Richard?
I'm fantastic. We're in the middle of a marathon pre-recording session of part of our holiday specials, I guess we'll call these.
And if we actually go by proper time frame, right at this moment in time, you are actually probably somewhere in the middle of Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be, when this one comes out, you're listening to this, I'm in London at the moment.
Oh, there you go. All
in right, the middle of the Sundance London Film Festival.
So Richard is here in body, but not necessarily in spirit.
So this is, if this is your first issue of Behind the Panels, this is not a regular issue. This is an issue that we're doing because I'm in London at the moment.
We'll call it our summer season, even though it's going into winter.
It's spring, summer. It's a season.
A winter season.
We'll call it holiday season.
Holiday season.
Which is basically, this is a cut-down version. We're not doing things like movie news, and we're not doing what we've been reading, but we will be doing a book club book.
So for those who are listening, you're not going to hear, but you will hear.
Well, see how you like this.
What is it, Batman?
Whatever it is, it's awfully funny.
It's the pick of the week.
And that would normally roll us straight into our pick of the week.
But we'll still do some of the regular features. For
Absolutely.
Example, of course, every week, every issue, we have to do a vintage clip of the week. And
Hit me with it.
So for this week, and I'll have to remember which one we're doing, because we're doing this week, our pick of the week is Nick Fury's Big Week. It's an Avengers-themed book, so I thought I'd hit you with a bit of this.
At the palatial townhouse of wealthy Anthony Stark, a meeting of the mighty Avengers comes to a close.
I suggest that we disband for now. We all have personal matters that require our attention.
Go ahead, all of you. I'll lock up.
So be it. Stand back while I take my departure. But if the need arises, my enchanted hammer and myself are at your call as ever.
I'm too tired to walk, Jan. Let's shrink down and I'll summon my flying ants.
Well, so long till next time, you two. Hey, where'd they go?
Come on, doll. I'll race you. Start flapping those wings, honey.
At least you could give your little wasp a head start.
As long as things are so quiet, I think I'll show Rick some of those acrobatic tricks I've been promising.
That'll be great, Cap. Let's go.
I wonder if the Avengers ever suspect that Iron Man is really their host, millionaire industrialist Tony Stark. Oh, well, back to the factory and my usual businessman role.
Start flapping those wings, honey.
In my usual businessman role. I don't know where to start with it.
All I can say to that is...
Tony Stark makes you feel he's a cool exec with a heart of steel.
Absolutely.
That one's actually from the old mighty Thor.
Oh, my God. And I did not know that was supposed to be Thor until he goes, I'm going to go grab my hammer.
Well, he sounds like, I mean... He may sound different because he started every week with a theme that sounded a little bit like this.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the god of thunder, mighty Thor.
Oh my God. All right.
And so, Chris Hemsworth, we're going to see you coming onto that in Thor 2. Presumably. We've got tears of laughter streaming down our faces.
Wow,
here.
That clip. I hadn't actually heard that clip until you played it here. I thought I was going to die. Oh, my God. It's like, and every step of the way, it's getting more extreme.
Yeah.
I think I'll go show Rick some of those acrobatic moves.
So that was from the 1966 series, The Mighty Thor, which played as part of the Marvel Superheroes series. And on Monday you'd get Captain America, on Tuesday you get Incredible Hulk. Wednesday,
did you say Captain America?
When Captain America throws his mighty shield.
He does indeed.
And then on Tuesday you'd get the Incredible Hulk.
I don't have that one at my fingertips.
He's so unglamorous.
Ain't he unglamorous?
Then on Wednesdays you'd get the Invincible Iron Man. on...
Tony Stark makes you feel...
Yeah, we've done that already.
And Thursday you get the Mighty Thor, which you just heard.
Yes.
And then on Friday you would get Prince Namor the Submariner.
Oh, we've got to find a theme
we'll
for that.
We'll have to find that. I'm looking at stills from Prince Namor the Submariner, and it sounds like it's going to be even better.
All right, we've got to find some stuff on that.
This is getting off to be a very lighthearted episode, and it is because it's a very lighthearted book we're doing this week.
It is. This is the book we're doing this week. We've already played the Pick of the Week theme, so we won't do that again. But the book we're actually doing this week is actually The Avengers Prelude, Nick Fury's Big Week.
And it was a big week.
It was a big week indeed. I was actually disappointed, I got to say, just once again, we do spoilers on this show. But I must say, I was actually disappointed by the last two pages when it actually goes a year later. Because it was like, no, you needed to stay in that week.
Yeah.
Because all the way through, for seven issues, we'd been in 1 week. And I really wanted them to finish in that 1 week. And for them to jump a year ahead kind of broke it for me a little bit, because it was this beautifully structured 1 week. Now, for what people don't understand, this is actually the prelude, basically, to the Avengers movie. So it's Marvel Comics coming out and basically saying, if you haven't been keeping up, or if you haven't been keeping score, basically, this is what's been going on behind the scenes. And it kind of wraps up all of the previous films under Marvel's banner to pull it all together so that it can kind of then eject out one Avengers movie at the other end.
So if you haven't seen Iron Man or The Incredible Hulk or Iron Man 2,
Thor or Captain America,
this is a quick way of catching up.
That's right. So what we thought we'd do for this, because it's such a lightweight book, I mean, it's eight issues, it's eight digital-only issues, and apparently they are going to start coming out in print as well.
Well, they have already come out in print. Okay. And they're much shorter, though, as well. So if you're going to buy these in print, wait for a collection.
Wait for a collection. It'll come out as one book eventually, I'm sure. And basically, these were pushed out really quickly. It wasn't a monthly. It was like every week.
Yeah, pretty much.
And there's eight issues in total. And it basically comes to us with the idea that the events of Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, Thor, and Captain America actually all took place within the same week.
Mm.
And what was going on behind the scenes during that time.
And Fury basically spinning plates.
Spinning plates, trying to figure it all out. Mm. And I thought... Well, we thought, because we're talking about the Avengers Prelude, and because it is directly related to the movies, we thought we might also take this opportunity to just kind of have a little bit of a once-over on the Marvel films at this point, and seeing where they're all at and what's going on and our excitement over the Avengers movie. So let's kick this off. And basically,
and so we should say, you're not listening to film, actually.
No, this is still, not film, actually.
It's still behind the panels.
And it's all comic book related, because these are all comic book properties. And I mean, this is the important thing. And well, there'll be inevitable comparisons between comic book and film at this point. But because this is directly relating to those films, we have to relate to the films. Unfortunately, it's the only way we can do this. So I think it's important to note that this does not include Iron Man 1.
No.
Iron Man 1 is events took place way prior to this.
Exactly, yeah.
So this is Iron Man 2. So the events as depicted in this book, we've got the end resultants of that disastrous party that Stark got drunk at.
And in Iron Man 2,
Iron Man 2.
And also the fight subsequent to that.
And we also have, and this great line, what is that great panel where he says, you know, how could this get any worse? And then there's a huge fight, they basically allude to the huge fight at the end of Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Great. and it's the events from The Incredible Hulk would be, first there's the university scene when the Hulk comes bursting out of the window. And Natasha, Black Widow, is actually there trying to find out intel on all of that. And she keeps getting hurt. I love this.
Yeah.
That by the end of it, she's all battered and bruised because Fury keeps sending
her off into the middle of the field.
To Hulk missions. and I also love the fact that we actually have resolution to something that they didn't resolve in the Incredible Hulk movie, which was resolution to the guy who gets the gamma serum on his head.
That's right, yeah.
And his head starts to swell, and he starts to... And he's obviously, if they're going to make any more Incredible Hulk movies, he would have been... What's that character called? Mastermind or something like that?
Yeah.
With the big head.
I've forgotten his name, but
I forget what his mind... He's the Gamma Genius.
I was going to say Hector Hammond, but no, that's the DC Universe.
That's the DC Universe. and I love the fact that in the Hulk movie, it just leaves it with him and his head going bloop, 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 and we kind of go, okay, well, we know where that's going. But we never actually had a sequel because it wasn't as big enough hit, I guess. And so we never found out more about that. But we get to resolve that in this book.
Yes.
Which I thought was really a cute resolution with Natasha. Basically, the take no crap Natasha Romanoff.
Yeah.
Basically, he's like, no, no, this is not on. We also have the events in the desert, which I think is quite funny in the book, how it's actually Coulson who is the one who is pushing for the whole Thor thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, because he originally discovers his atmospheric disturbance. And he's saying to Fury, look, there's this atmospheric disturbance thing that's going on. I think we should pay attention to it. And he's like, Coulson, you know, it's not even worth my attention.
You don't know the week I'm having.
You know. And then he comes back to me the next day and he says, you know, that thing that you said wasn't worth your attention? And he goes, why would I remember something that wasn't worth my attention? He goes, well, it's kind of looks like it's another universe trying to push its way into our temporal, you know, time-space. And he goes, right, that sounds like it's something worth my attention. Goes, and it's gathered, you know, it's got some other people's attention too. And, of course, he's referring to, you know, Stellan Skarsgård's character and Natalie Portman's characters from the film Thor. And in fact, Stellan Skarsgård's character makes a few appearances throughout this series,
And he is in the Avengers.
He is in the Avengers, that's right. And all that stuff that and that stuff that's alluded to at the end of Thor, when and this is the post-credit sequence. Spoilers if you haven't seen it, but we are talking about an entire film series here.
And if you aren't staying to the end of credits, people, stay to the end of credits. In particular, Marvel comics.
At the end of Thor, at the end of the credits, you see a mysterious object that they're all looking at, and Loki pops up in a reflected surface going, now that's interesting. Mm. And Loki does pop up a few times, or at least once in this comic.
in a reflection of, now what's his name, Selvig? Is that
Selvig.
Of Selvig, basically. So we can assume that in the Avengers movie, Selvig is possessed by Loki.
Yes.
And the object in question is the Cosmic Cube, which is being referred to by a different name by S.H.I.E.L.D. You notice that?
Yes.
They're calling it, and I wasn't sure what they were referring to, because they say, your attention should be on this.
Yeah,
because he's off basically scouring the snowfields looking for Captain America,
which
he believes is the last person who basically the only person who's ever had a successful super formula put into his body. So he's trying to find him, and everybody's saying, you're wasting your time. Your focus should be on the such and such, which I forget what they call it. And he's saying, but no, you don't understand. So we find out by the last issue, of course, that whatever it is that they've been referring to is the Cosmic Cube. And by the last issue of this prelude, we also start to realize that it's all interconnected.
Yeah. And look, a couple of the other things that I really liked about this comic before we get on to what we didn't like about it was the fact that they've got two things. You already mentioned that Black Widow is a enhanced character. She really only turned up for a few bits of cameo work in Iron Man 2.
An awesome, probably the best scene in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, very, very awesome scene, but her character wasn't fleshed out. We don't know where she came from. We know she worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. That's about all we know about her. Hawkeye, who literally was in one scene in Thor,
saying, should I take the shot?
And that's it. All we know. And I didn't. And in fact, it wasn't until someone pointed out to me afterwards that I realized that was meant to be Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah. I knew that going in.
So. I didn't know going in that that was a thing. And that was actually so obscure. Like, you know, you don't know that they were building him up to
be. It was fan service,
but they didn't even know they were building him up to be a character. Now they've got him as a major character in the Avengers. This comic actually gives you a bit of backstory and how instrumental he's been to S.H.I.E.L.D. so far. Interestingly enough, the one character they didn't build up, which we were talking about before the show, was the Maria Hill character, who's played by Cobie Smulders in The Avengers.
Absolutely. And what we were talking about before we recorded was the fact that it makes us wonder whether or not Maria Hill will actually be introduced in The Avengers as a new character, as in not... That's her introduction,
and really they've released like one or two images of her from the film, about 700 from.
She's not on the poster.
She's on some of the character posters, but she's not on the official big poster. And that poster's got Nick Fury on it. That poster's got all the other Avengers on it. So I think you're right. As we were saying in one of the earlier episodes, her character is actually ends up running S.H.I.E.L.D. During a siege, I think you were saying it was.
I think it's siege, post-Civil War.
It's post-Civil War, yeah, because as you were saying that Nick Fury is disgraced and he's
Events between Civil War and Siege all become very blurry because they're about a year apart, those two miniseries, and so much happens in that time that it's hard.
And look, you know, so she's obviously a very important character in the comics, and, you know, I think they're setting her up to be something bigger in the second run of Avengers films, which will begin with, I believe, Thor 2. I think is being shot at the moment in London. It'll be Thor 2 and then Iron Man 3, I think, are the next two confirmed ones. And Captain, a sequel to Captain America and perhaps anything else.
And there has been rumors of the Namor movie, Doctor Strange movie.
Ant-Man
with the Edgar Wright Ant-Man. And there was one other that was kicked around. Oh, the
Guardians of...
No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. There was also talk about the Inhumans.
Right, there was Inhumans, but there's also a Guardians of the Galaxy that's one that they were kicking around as well. And it was Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, and the Inhumans, which they said might form part of that. Now, I suspect only one of those will probably turn up in the Ultimate thing, because I think the other two are too much of a gamble.
It's also, you're talking about stuff that isn't name recognition. I think they're going to have more luck getting Doctor Strange and Namor off the ground than they are in humans.
The biggest gamble that they had in the road to the Avengers, as they've been calling it, is was Thor. Because he was not only the least recognizable, I guess, of all those characters.
But he was also magical.
And it was half the film was set in Asgard, and they were wearing these big ridiculous costumes. But, you know, Breno nailed it. We've spoken about that on the film show as well. But, you know, so you've got all that being set up in this comic. So that's what I like about it. I like that what they've done here is what they've done with those Marvel one-shot
And it's funny you mentioned those Marvel one-shot films, because one of them is actually referenced in here as well. Hawkeye is actually driving out to New Mexico to find out what's going on with Coulson and so forth, he stops at exactly the same convenience store that Coulson stops at in Funny Thing on the Way to the Hammer.
Yeah.
And it's all taped off because, of course, and he says, let me guess, it was a man in a suit.
Yeah. You know, blah,
blah, blah. And it's like, it's so cute that they actually reference those little films.
And look, and I found that, because what Marvel's done is amazing when you think about it in terms of cinema. And it's been years since this has ever happened, where they've actually, I don't think it's ever really happened to this scale. No, not on this scale. We're talking about, was it six blockbuster films plus the Avengers? Or was it five blockbuster films plus the Avengers?
Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2. Hulk, Thor, Captain America. Is that right?
Five blockbuster films plus the Avengers, which will make the sixth blockbuster film. So five films that were just basically setting up, in one way, this big team film. No one's ever done it, because that's a huge gamble. I mean, look, you know, the way they did it was clever, because, you know, if it
And they were smart in the sense that they actually kind of threw in the Nick Fury thing at the very end of the first Iron Man, saying, I want to talk to you about the Avengers initiative. Had it failed... They didn't really set anything up. It could have just been fan service.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when The Incredible Hulk came out, they had that scene saying, let me talk to you about...
And that was Robert Downey Jr. actually
turned up. And he's saying, let me talk to you about the Avengers initiative. And fans started to get excited. But once again, still could have been thrown away as just fan service.
So by the time Iron Man 2 came out, Nick Fury was actually in the film.
And it was there was a large chunk of the film was about... The Avengers.
They were elbow deep.
Yeah. And then when you get to Thor and Captain America, the fact that Captain America was called the first Avenger, I mean, we are seriously saying these are setup movies.
Now, we should say the Avengers is actually out in cinemas as you're listening to this, and we will have seen it by this stage. Of course, we're recording this a month before it's out, so we don't know whether it's any good yet. We're assuming... it's awesome.
I think you actually said to me, we saw the trailer the other night at a screening in 3D on the big screen.
Yes.
And you actually leaned over to me and you said, what if it's no good?
Yeah.
And I actually said to you, I said, I'll be heartbroken, because the setup for this, the anticipation for this has been enormous. And I put Captain America in my top five films of last year. I loved Captain America.
It just missed out on mine.
I loved Captain America. I loved Thor. Thor holds a very soft spot in my heart.
Of course.
I actually really liked The Incredible Hulk. I thought it was a really good reboot of a failed Hulk film.
Given how disappointed a lot of people were with the Hulk, I think there's things worth salvaging from Ang Lee's Hulk.
Not much.
Because the aftertaste is bitter.
It's bitter. Yeah. And I thought that the second try on it, now being controlled by Marvel rather than being controlled by Universal, being controlled by Marvel and basically being much more like the comic book bringing the Hulk, making him not 15 feet tall, but making him just a huge, you know, hulking man. But suddenly we had a film where I went, this is the Hulk. And the fact that he actually said Hulk smash, and the fact that, you know...
Sorry, he said...
Hulk smash!
There you go. And, and the fact, I mean, we had the Abomination, and it felt like it was part of the Marvel Universe. I really liked it, and I actually said, at the time, it came out the same time as Iron Man 1. And I remember saying that Iron Man 1 was definitely the better film.
Mm.
But they make great bookends.
Yeah.
And they work really well together.
And I think no one expected Iron Man to do as well as it did.
No, Iron Man was...
And so they had to get a sequel.
Well, there was a big article in Empire Magazine about Iron Man 1 coming out. And I remember they were saying that they were just gearing up for release and they'd finished the film and Favreau had appeared at an airport at one point and a reporter said, "So what are you working on now, Mr. Favreau?" And he said, "We're just about to release Iron Man." And the reporter actually said, "What's that?" And it was like everybody was kind of concerned because Iron Man, as big as he is in the geek community, outside of the geek community, nobody knew who
I was in the US at the time it was released, and I was on holiday. I was in, I think I was in Florida at the time, and I was in Disney World, and they have a theater down there. And so we just wandered in. It was a quiet morning. Nobody was there. There was probably a handful of us in the cinema seeing this film. We walked out and, you know, I'd heard a little bit of buzz because, you know, I'm a film fan, but I wasn't following it that closely because I thought this could be terrible. Oh my God, was my response. We you know, just looked at each other and said, that was amazing.
Hmm.
Like, my partner at the time, who was not a comic book fan, just fell in love with the film. And I think that's what the appeal was. It had this cross audience appeal to people who weren't film fans. And that's what the film series has done throughout. But bringing it back to our pick this week, this book is for that film audience, but it's also a knowing nod to that comic audience.
This
as well.
Book is actually, it almost feels, and I don't say this in a nasty way, but it almost feels like a cynical attempt to be able to woo the moviegoers into the comic book
world. Well, no, that's what it's for. Yeah. It is a thing, and that's why they've made these available digitally. Marvel's strategy's been pretty good so far, making things available digitally day and date and advance. There really is this urgency, I think, with the comics world. People for comics to survive in the next couple of years and to not go purely digital, they have to get new audiences.
Mm.
They have to get new people in. And the movies are the best advertising. These million, you know, these hundreds of millions of dollar blockbuster movies that they earn billions of dollars at the box office are like extended advertising for these characters that have been around for years. And you have to keep reinventing them. Mm. You know, fanboys who get all hung up about this got changed. You know, look, don't care. If it's a good movie, it's a good movie. You know, and if it's good advertising and it gets people into the comics, then that's what we want. Because we want to see, like, I don't think some of these fanboys realize how precarious some of these comics are. It only takes another massive
Let's not even just talk about the individual comics. We forget how precarious Marvel's existence
10
was.
10 years ago, before the movies, 10, 15 years ago, Marvel was bankrupt.
You could actually argue that Spider-Man 1, when Spider-Man 1 came out, Spider-Man 1 saved Marvel Comics.
Absolutely.
They were at the point where they were facing bankruptcy. Nobody was reading them anymore. Marvel was dead in the water.
Mm.
And they were desperately, and this is one of the reasons why, they were literally selling off their rights, right, left, and center, because they were just desperate to make money any way they could.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that's come back to bite them on the ass. They've lost some of the properties of some of their big properties, such as X-Men, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four. These are all off with other studios, but it saved their ass. And it has afforded them the ability to create their own Marvel Productions company to start doing stuff like the Avengers.
And look, you know, now they're major power brokers in Hollywood. Studios is...
Let's face it, with the exception of The Dark Knight, the two Dark Knight films and the third one coming up, with the exception of those, these are the superhero films. These are what show superheroes have been put on screen and worked.
Yeah, and... You know? Yeah, look, I mean... Even if you weren't a comic book fan, these are amazing films. And this comic book that we're looking at this week is less than amazing. It's a nice bit of glue.
You know. It was fun. And that's the thing. You read it and you go, hey, that's kind of cute. And because there's that recognition from the films of all these little bits. Like there's that one scene where they actually power up the destroyer.
Yeah.
And it fires its beam and Coulson says, that's great. Now miniaturize it and give it a trigger.
I love it. Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. Those are joyful moments where you read those and go, that's just fantastic. The overall feeling from this is it's just lightweight.
Look,
there's no depth to this.
And that's what it is. I mean, look, I get excited like you every time a new poster or trailer gets released from this film. I am so hanging, and lest we forget, this is a month before for us recording, before this movie comes out. I am hanging out for this film.
In 2 weeks, from the time you hear this podcast, we will be talking about what we actually thought of the movie.
Yeah.
Because you'll be back and we'll be able to actually talk about this. Yeah. But at the moment, no, the film hasn't come out yet. All we have to go with is trailers, what we've read, and this comic book.
And look, you know, I'm still excited. This comic book just, you know, makes me excited to see the movie all the more because they've set up a whole lot of characters. As a comic book, it's not great. I don't think it has to be. As you said at the start, it's not trying to be great art. This is advertising. Hmm.
It should have carried that little banner they have in magazines at the top, which says advertisement. You know, only.
Look, you know, it's a cash in. Look, every time a movie comes out, there is a tie-in comic for it. I always find ironic. It's an adaptation of it's a comic book adaptation of a film, which is in turn an adaptation of a comic book.
I know. And in this particular situation, at least it's not an adaptation.
It's an original story.
It's an original story that is building up to, and I'm sure there will be an Avengers movie adaptation coming out, of course. And I'm not particularly interested in the adaptations that much because they don't generally give you anything more than what you're already seeing, and what's the point in that? But this is giving us some backstory.
And I think sometime after the movie comes out, we will do a classic Avengers story. On the thing. We've spoken about a few that we'd like to do. Hmm. And that's a different story. That's a complete thing. The Avengers have gone through so many change-ups.
And that's the thing. To say the Avengers must have this lineup is actually nonsense because the Avengers have been through so many lineups.
It's actually funny. Avengers versus X-Men came out. And in the issue zero, they had the Avengers as a block of characters, and there was about 20, 30 people there in that block, and the X-Men, which was about 7 people. Now, in both cases, you could have had blocks of...
the X-Men has been through so many people too. It's ridiculous.
This is the film universe, and this is not the comic universe, which you normally talk about. In and of itself, it's good. Enjoyed it, but
the biggest issue I had with it, and we'll just address this very quickly. The biggest issue I had with the book was that I thought it ended too abruptly, and I know it is a prelude, so I know it needs to go into the Avengers. But we went from a fun story arc of this week, and as I said before, to suddenly jumping to 1 year later, bang, one page, we're out.
Yeah,
and it's like I just felt like it was completely interrupted.
And the issues were all a little bit shorter as well. So they're all 12, 13-page issues. I think if they could have made them all regular-sized comics, we could have fleshed out some of those characters more.
Expanded it just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit more. But look, you know, again, this is just a goodwill book. It is a bit of a cash cow. You know, we can't begrudge them for that.
No, absolutely not. Do you know the only thing I would have liked to have seen happen, and he's probably too busy, so I understand why not. But because he wrote and directed the film, wouldn't it have been lovely to have seen Joss Whedon write this?
Oh, no, absolutely. But the thing is, he went off and made another film in the middle of the Avengers, which was Much Ado About Nothing, which I think Oz Comic Con, which is next month, from the time that you'll be listening to this, I think one of the actors from that will be out here, and hopefully we'll be able to snag him for a chat.
That'd be fantastic. So. Well, that's kind of our mystery tour of the Marvel film universe as it stands. Have a look at this book. You can get it actually on any of the digital formats. So if you've got an iPad, grab yourself a Comixology app, and you can actually download it on that, or you can download it on the Marvel app as well. You can also, as you say, you can buy it physically if you're into physical comics as well. So have a look at it, because it is kind of fun. And it is a roundup. It is a build-up into Avengers Land, and it does help fill a couple of holes as to why they're there and stuff like that.
So, and if you have any thoughts on that comic, or indeed on the Avengers film, which is out this week, please hit us up on comics@geekactually.com or head to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ behind the panels.
Absolutely. Richard, where can people find more about you on the internet?
They can find me.
Because they can't find you in physical form because you're in Europe.
I'm in Europe at the moment. I'm on the internet at therealbits.com. That's the RELBits.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at DVDBits.
Fantastic. And you can find me at geekactually.com or on Twitter at David McVeigh, all one word. Well, that's a short little show for us. But as I said, we said before, it is just the pick of the week section for us for the next the couple of weeks leading up to this and also for next week as well.
So, in 2 weeks' time, we're back to regular programming.
Absolutely. What's next week's book?
Next week's book will be... Green Arrow. It'll be Green Arrow, year one. So we've done a Green Arrow book before. We did the classic Green Lantern, Green Arrow team-up, Hard Traveling Heroes, but we thought we'd do a Green Arrow solo book because I'm such a big fan. And this is Andy Diggle, who we've also covered before in his Ratcatcher
book. Yeah, and this was an interesting book. I quite like this. So we'll talk about this more next week.
Yeah,
this is kind of like the... Is it the retelling of his origin?
Look, it was a retelling of the origin story, which is now all defunct because of the New 52.
Right.
But this was meant to be the new definitive origin story, but of course it's not.
Anymore. And in fact, the origin's so strong that it even made its way into a new origin on the Smallville character.
Exactly.
So,
yeah
it's the same concept. All right, well, we'll see you next week, Richard.
I'll see you then, David.
Bye.